opportunity, because it's opportunist, isn't it? The animal is. Looks for an opportunity. Do not give him the opportunity. Do not let him jump out and say, I. Bring it in we. Look at it. I want to talk about humanity and the goodness of human being. How do I talk about it? Here, Hesam al-Din, like you, to you who are listening to me, this is what I'm talking about. Do not lose this. Do not go through these other branches of imagining this stuff. Yes.
Our company followed the leadership of Dakuki. Dakuki advanced to perform the prayer. The company wore the satin robe and he the embroidered border. Those kings followed his leadership in a row behind that renowned exemplar. When they pronounced the takbirs, they went forth from this world like a sacrifice. O Imam, the meaning of the takbir is this: we have become a sacrifice, O God, before thee.
Okay, before going there, what is the beginning? What happened? The thing that we are waiting for, this prayer is happening, right? You started that, okay, that we started it, everybody around me, and they started to say takbir. Then what? They went out of this existence. We talked about it before. In the same story, do you remember Dawri himself? He said, oh, that day that it was like this and that, suddenly I jumped out of the hour. It was out of the time. Everything in another dimension. Here, Rumi is telling you that let's go back to that state of mind. Remember when he was seeing this and that and that? Now he started with takbir. What is the meaning of that? Meaning that I'm ready to be sacrificed for you. Yes?
O Imam, the real meaning of takbir is this: we have become a sacrifice, O God, before thee. At the moment of slaughtering, you say, Allah Akbar. Even so, in slaughtering the fleshy soul which ought to be killed. The body is like Ishmael, and the spirit like Abraham. The spirit has pronounced the takbir over the noble body.
Okay, now what? You hit something. What does that mean? You know a story of a fellow who apparently killed his son for the will of God. Do you remember that? And we call it either sacrifice. Okay? When you look in it, you will see that's not what happened. Because the man didn't kill his son. Right? And it's a complicated stuff. Now I'm talking about it. What do you imagine? I know. You're looking at a fellow with a lot of beard and stuff who has taken his son. I was telling you, the stories are for you. So when I talk about that sacrifice, well, sacrification, I'm talking about you, the body and the soul. The body is the Ishmael and the soul is Abraham. That's what that the story is all about. Your soul should be ready to sacrifice the body. Then what? Then something else will happen from somewhere else magically. They bring an animal, you feast and all that. We don't mean kill your ego. We mean arrive to a state of mind that you're ready to sacrifice it if he wants it. That is the point. As simple as that. All that story is to explain this. Our story is like that. Do you remember for us? The Ahmed is the name of all the prophets. Because the prophet is the breath to us. Because the breath is bringing us the message. The spirit, the soul, that's what we are talking about. So remember, they said when you are sacrificing the sheep, an animal, you should say Allahu Akbar. This is imitating that stuff in this theory. Means, I say, Allahu Akbar. He is the greatest. And I'm ready to be sacrificed for that. I'm ready to give my body. Because my body is not the most important part. I'm not ready to give him the breath. Because it's his. Am I going to give it to him? The breath is his. I'm ready to give the body. This is what that story means. Yes?
By lusts and desires, the body was killed. By Bismillah, in the ritual prayer, it was sacrificed. Whilst performing the prayer, drawn up in ranks before God, as at the resurrection, and engaged in self-examinations and orisons, standing in God's presence and shedding tears like one who rises erect on rising from the dead, God will say, "What hast thou produced for me during this term of respite which I gave thee? In what hast thou brought thy life to its end? In what hast thou consumed thy freedom and strength?"
Translation, please. What is all this about? He was talking about the prayer, which we'll find the aim at the end, right? And here he started with something very simple. The sacrifice. What is this sacrifice? So this sacrifice is something that is not explainable in a normal way, because there is no sacrification out there. I'm talking about inside you. You should be ready to sacrifice all the physical or animalistic wishes for the spirit, for the goodness of God, right? Then there is a moment. Do you remember that moment? Qiyam, standing up, and you will be questioned. Is it okay? The question is, God will tell you, what did you brought me? I gave you time. Are you listening to me? What did you come through your mind? Book one. The Joseph, the beauty. Remember, he said, if you are going to see the beauty, you have to prepare something to bring over there, remember? And I said, what could you take to Joseph? What could you? He doesn't need anything. No, he said, a mirror. Shine your heart, become selfless. If you stop your show off, you are a mirror. And you could take that mirror to that beauty, right? Now you will hear the same story now with different actors. One is God asking the spirit that, okay, I give you the stuff. Do you remember? He gave you the stuff. How many times have we talked about that? Somebody will ask for a silly stuff from a prophet. The prophet at the end will give him in his order. Why? Because he's giving you the possibilities. We have this choice. We have this free will. Therefore, we are responsible for that. So at the end of the story, which is right now, I'm asking you, okay, what's the outcome of your life? You have given the life, imagination, you have an understanding of non-existence, you have all this stuff. What did you do with it? This is the question that we are always facing, right? Yep.
Where hast thou dimmed the luster of thine eye? Where hast thou dissipated thy five senses? Thou hast expended eyes and ears and intellect and the pure celestial substances. What hast thou purchased from the earth? I gave thee hands and feet as spade and mattock. When did those become of themselves? Even so, hundreds of thousands of such sorrowful messages come from the Lord. At the time of standing, these words return, and from shame he is bent double in genuflection.
It means what? Means what?
Sounds down.
Means what? He is explaining what the prayer, the namaz, is all about. Remember, it's qiyam, standing. That standing is qiyam. You should stand up, right? But before that, you should wash yourself clean. Standing up, and you start with Allahu Akbar. That is what we talked about. Remember the first story when the king was confused and realized that this handmaiden, there is something wrong, she's sick and all that. Do you remember? She went to the mosque, to mihrab, to pray and cry, to bring out all the internal knowledge out, to make it like a sea, to submerge in it. All that stuff is here. He says, okay, this is it. You stand up in front of him and say, he's great. I say, okay, so what? What do you have? You're here to answer. Okay, what did you bring? I gave you everything. I gave you possibilities, knowledge, choice, and all that. What did you do with that? What do you do? That's my hearing that. You will become shameful. You will bow. Your spirit is supposed to feel that. Yes, shame on me. Because I didn't do all of that. Yes.
At the time of standing, these words return, and from shame he is bent double in genuflection. From shame, the power of standing remains not, and from abashment he recites a litany of glorification while his knees are bowed.
Yep.
Then comes the command, lift up thy head from the genuflection and tell over answer to God.
Yeah, when you say, Subhana Rabbiyal Azim wa bihamdih, Allahu Akbar, and say, okay, stand up, answer. Shame is not enough. What did you do? Yes.
The shame-faced one lifts up his head from the genuflection. Then that man whose works are unright falls on his face. Again, the divine command comes to him. Lift up thy head from the prostration and give an account of thy deeds. Once more, the shame-faced one lifts up his head and falls again on his face as a snake. Again, he says, lift up thy head and relate, for I will inquire of thee, hair by hair. He hath no power to stand on foot, since the words of awe addressed to him have smitten his soul.
Okay, I hope that the routine is going and you're following, imagining the fellow. But do not forget the words he's using. First of all, he was looking for what? Hair by hair. Do you remember that hair in the eye, which is small, but it's dangerous? And do you remember that the other hair, which is everyone has a personal path to the head of the beloved and all that? Here we say, okay, stand up, because everything should be cleared here. Yes?
So he sits down because of that heavy burden. The Lord says to him,